Blog Talk Radio.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Yes. Welcome, America, to the Pitt Radio News. The Pitt stands for the Politically Inconvenient Truth, which you just heard a little bit of that there with Paul Harvey from back in 1965. You know, it's amazing when you think of 1965. That's a lot of years ago. I was only like 2 years old when that came out. And it's the same today. It's gotten worse. It's just one of those things, folks, that... You know, the Bible does predict that these things would happen. They were starting to happen then, of course, in the beginning stages of them. I mean, there's a lot of gradual progress to getting it even to 1965. And now it's gotten even worse. And we're going to talk a little bit about that when it comes to, you know, this show, the Pitt Radio News, which is the Politically Inconvenient Truth politically incorrect truth. You know, to people just want political correctness. We don't care about political correctness. We just care about the truth, and that's what we're here for. And my name is Glenn Atkinson. I'm here in sunny South Texas here, sunny Texas. And anyways, I have another host named Gary Rumor up in North Dakota. And how are you doing up there, Gary?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I can't complain. Right now we have a little bit of a ground blizzard. It looks like the sun is trying to come out, but the wind is up 50 miles per hour, and it's just nice to be indoors. I was out hauling wheat yesterday, or taking it out of the bin, loading it up, and it was pretty nice yesterday, but a little different today, so But I looked out, you know, you can't, with a ground blizzard, and you've come to Canada, you know what I'm talking about, my friend. you know, where you can look out, and it's probably 100 feet in air, it's probably clear as a bell, but when you get down close to the ground, it's blowing just like a regular snowstorm. You know, it's just that moves the snow around and can't see, you know, like the neighbor's place and stuff like that. But that's just par for the course for North Dakota, and it's the days are definitely getting longer, and I can tell the sun is getting stronger now when it does come out. And right now it hasn't really warmed up too much yet, but about another 3 weeks we're going to start seeing a little warmer weather, and hopefully it'll get warm enough to put a crust on the snow, and then you won't see it blow anymore. I'm kind of looking forward to getting warm weather and getting rid of some of this white stuff that it's even hard to see. You have to wear sunglasses when you step outside because it makes it five times brighter than it normally is. And when it gets like that, it's kind of nice after Christmas is over and stuff like that, and, you know, in the spring and winter is kind of gloomy. It's kind of nice to get a little longer days and a little warmer days, and we'll have to deal a little bit with the mud and stuff when the snow goes away, but it dries up. It'll be all so nice again, and I'm looking forward to the flowers coming back up and the beauty of the flowers of God's nature. To have the beauty of looking at that, something that's it's a treat for the eyes when you get up, and the sunsets and the sunrises also will be great, but just par for the thing when you're living up here. You know, you get your cold weather and you get unpredictable weather, but other than that, it's pretty nice up here. I can't complain. You know, as long as the furnace is working, I'm happy. And anyway, I'll turn this back over to you, my friend. Let you continue on.
Yeah, the weather, it does get a little bit, I remember, you know, being up in Canada, and even here, I mean, it still gets cold, not like Canada, of course, it still gets chilly, so, you know, I prefer to be in shorts as much as I can, and you can't do that until you get to about around here to sometimes, well, it just depends, even sometimes this month we've been able to a couple times, but generally speaking, the continuous wearing of shorts and nice clothing is generally around sometime in March around here, but up in Canada, it sometimes could be you have to wait till May. It's just one of those things. It's just, you know, and like you said, you know, you're from the north area too, so you understand that. But, yeah, I think sometime in January is when everybody starts getting a little antsy for the nicer weather because, you know, it's just, you know, but that's when it gets colder generally. It's January is really typically a cold, really cold month. And then February, March kind of has quite a bit of a mixture.
Well, it's kind of gloomy in January because the sun is so down through the south, and even, you know, it doesn't have much power, you know, and it looks kind of dark, and, you know, it's like when it's cloudy and stuff, it doesn't really get as bright as it does now, but it's getting bright now, right. And it gives a person spring fever, you know.
Exactly. So. Well, you know, it is what it is, and we have to kind of just tough it out, but like you say, another 2 or 3 weeks or so. That area, you'll be seeing more consistency of the temperatures rising and the snow going down and the sun staying out and whatever. So, yeah, it'll all work itself out. This is the February, at the end of February. So March is the time when things really start to make a big improvement or noticeable improvement anyway. But you know, we always start this show, and have been, with the Paul Harvey, the politically inconvenient truth, you know, and that's what it is here at the Pit Radio. And, you know, the same message, and because this is pretty much, it's like, it has everything in that one, you know, it's like 3 hours, or three hours, it's 3 minutes and 16 seconds of a speech, basically, of what Paul Harvey had to say. And I'll tell you, it's amazing what it says in three minutes and 16 seconds is incredible. That's about the around the average for a song. And if you think of all what you get out of a song compared to this, it's nothing. For most songs, you don't get nothing compared to what you get out of what Paul Harvey said. And the thing is it stands the test of time. It's, you know, how long ago was that? You know, what, 53 years ago, you know, basically. It's almost 54. It's crazy when you think of how long ago that was and how it is now. You can't make this stuff up. It's just the way it is. And so, therefore, you know, there's some songs that stand the test of time and whatever have you because, they might mention the date in that time or that song or whatever have you. But this
it doesn't have to, we don't have to tell you that it's 1965 for you to know that this is what's going on right now. But it's amazing to find out that this was done in 1965 and it's gotten worse. It's the same exact thing, but more intense. And this is what this show has all to do with, exposing what is real in truth, and basically just having everybody, you know, come on here, whether it be guests or guests making, you know, about talking about their own issues or whatever pertaining to God, to our Yah, and also the political stuff that's going on. It all ties together because it's all part of Revelation. You know, we have to reveal this truth, and if they cover up the history, you know, then we, you know, everybody else that's born into this, they just think it's the norm, you know, because they don't know the real history. Well, we do know real history, you know, here at the Pit Radio News. And, you know, Gary, you know, and I, we're in our 50s, 60s and stuff like that. So we know we've been around to see even some of the stuff that they're even blocking us from knowing from back when we were a kid. And whatever, even that as far, even not even that far long ago, that they were started blocking stuff even before that. So it's just one of those things that, you know, you get people that are typically in their 30s and 40s and under. They've been raised to where they don't know the real history because they were given one thing that they thought was the truth, and then that's just what they believe, unfortunately. And those are the masses that actually push that narrative. That indoctrination is what we call it. And so basically, the Pit has a foundation of truth and has walls of truth. It has the whole truth. And whether someone believes the truth or not, it's still the truth. But we do ask for people to call us up. You know, we have a phone number, 646-787-8534. And if you want to just listen, that's fine. If you'd like to be a part of the show and comment or have a question or whatever have you, we want you to. We ask you to, you know, be a part of it. Be a part of the show and let us know what your thoughts are. And back it up with truth, though. You know, we don't want opinions. We don't want to give opinions, really. We just want, we really want to have facts here. And if we're wrong about something, we want to have someone prove to us by fact that we are incorrect, because we're always wanting to obviously come out with the truth. We don't want to mislead anybody, because we know how this government and parts of the government, the elitists and the you know, on both sides, Republican and Democrat, liberals and whatever have you, they're all trying to mislead people into just giving parts of truth, or sometimes not even any part of truth at all. But because they have the masses and media on their side, they tend to get that message out a lot easier than what we do. But you know what? Anything worthwhile doesn't come easy, so that's one reason why we're doing this show. Is that not, Gary?
Well, yeah, that's true. And like I said, you were saying, if we make a mistake, which we're human, there's a difference between making a mistake and actually going out and intentionally misleading people, the left-wing media. That's why they got the term fake news, because they got an agenda. And their agenda, it doesn't matter. In fact, they said it's what's morally right, not what's factually correct. Well, that's the biggest lie. What they're doing is they're trying to change the thoughts of people's, you know, they're trying to change what morals really are. You can't do that because there's only one set of morals. But they're claiming to say, well, it's okay to lie as long as you further your agenda. That's a form of taqiyya. You know, that's what the Muslims do. You know, to further their agenda. Say it's a religion of peace when it's not. It's the same thing. Well, that Jussie Smollett, remember him? They find it out. It's more and more. Yet I'm going to say he's still innocent yet, because he hasn't been proven guilty in a court of law. But the evidence is piling in more and more, and it makes it look like he set this up just to make it look like that people wearing MAGA hats, you know, are racist and stuff like that. And I'm going to tell you something. I learned one thing in life. You know, you can't just sit there and let them beat you down. You got to stand up. Sometimes you got to stand up for yourself, and don't let them get away with that. There's nothing immoral about standing up for the truth. If they lie, call them out on that. Let them get mad. That's just showing how immature they are. It doesn't bother me if they get mad at me. They're making a fool of themselves. And sometimes when someone makes a fool of themselves, it's just best to stand out of the way and let them do it. I know it's happened to me, and I'm sure it's happened to you, my friend. It's happened to all of us. And, you know, you just got to stand up for what's right, not what you think is fact. Not what you think is moral, but even though the facts don't matter. You know, the facts
right.
do matter, because if you lie, that's right there is immorality. Lying is immorality. It's a little different if you make a mistake, if you misquote something not intentionally, but you didn't intentionally do it to mislead. You know, I always tell people, I might misquote something. I might be wrong, but tell me, because I'd rather know the truth. That way, it's not lying if you misquote it. As long as it's
Amen.
Not intentional, it's not a lie. You make a mistake once in a while. We're human beings, and that's what we do once in a while. But we search, and this is what we do in this radio station, we search for the truth. That's what's important, is the truth. And if we actually make a mistake on here, call us out on this, because we want the truth to be out there. Now, if we find out somebody calls in and they lie to us, we're going to call them on it. We ain't going to let you get away with it, so don't try to pull one on us. It just isn't going to fly here. But anyway, you're exactly right. I'm going to turn this back to you, my friend.
Well, yeah, you're right. And you know, stemming off of that, you know, you were talking about, you know, the Jussie Smollett thing, and, you know, he had a bit of mixed bag of everything in that thing. He's talking about race and homophobic, and then he brought in the noose, you know, as if he was being hung by a noose, and then he brought in he's talking about old slavery and all that kind of stuff, bringing all that stuff back, and then he had to bring in the MAGA hats, you know, so you know he had a little everything in there, and that's why it was really suspicious, especially in the area of where this event was supposed to have taken and whatever have you, and it was minus 20 or minus 30 or something. Like, it just, it had, he was in the wrong area, the wrong time of the year. Everything was just wrong. He even paid the people by check. I mean, you know, there's a show called The World's Dumbest Criminals, and I'm not saying he was dumb, I'm saying that wasn't a very smart thing to do. If you're trying to stage something that's a lie, that was not one of the things you would do, is pay somebody by check or whatever have you, and also at that time of year. And I mean, the whole thing was just fell apart from the get go, and he's still standing firm, or at least his lawyers are saying he's still standing firm that he was not lying. But the thing is that one of the things that stood out to me in that was that, you know, is two things. He's an actor. And to me, it's amazing that an actor did that, but it's also amazing that he's also being called out on both sides now, finally. So now we're starting to see that, you know, you can't cover up stupidity, you know, because really that's what it really is. It comes down to anyone that's going to cover someone up that hasn't got the facts straight yet. You know, I'm not talking about Jussie. I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not calling him dumb. What I'm calling stupidity is for someone to jump to conclusions without getting the facts in. You can say, well, you know, something smells kind of fishy about this. I'm not really sure how much truth is in this, but I want to wait to have my final conclusion until the actual facts come out. And you know what? And I'm still that way because it hasn't went to court yet. Okay, you know, there's a lot of things that have been leaked where, you know, it looks like he might have been lying. Well, I'm going to wait till we have justice served the whole way through. And also, when it comes to this MAGA hat thing, you know, he had to bring that up, that, you know, this is MAGA country and all that kind of stuff. Well, here's the thing. You know, I wear a MAGA hat every day. I have two of them, okay? And I don't wear two of them every day, but I do have two of them. So my point is this, is even way back when I got the MAGA hat, way back in 2015 when President Trump was a candidate, I was going to all the rallies around here, you know, in the Dallas and the Fort Worth areas and whatever. I went to, like, gosh, three or four of them. And anyways, I'd wear my hats. And I brought, you know, signs and the whole bit, whatever, and if I didn't have them, I'd buy one there or get one, whatever have you, get one there. And so what happened was I was attacked myself, just because of wearing the MAGA hat and also my Trump T-shirt, you know, and, you know, having signs or whatever have you and whatnot. At the time, I had to go on, like, GO trains and buses because I wasn't able to – I didn't have a vehicle because I was – another whole story again with the government holding me back from doing what I came here to do. But anyways, I had to go on buses and trains. So I was very vulnerable that way because I couldn't just go and, you know, I had to wait for buses. I'd wait for trains in order to get back home from all these different places. So I was, you know, I remember one particular case where I had some, you know, teenagers, you know, they were like,
I may have been may have been older than that. Actually, it's hard to tell nowadays. But to me, they were, you know, 6 foot. They were big. They weren't young kids. They were teenagers, so at least 17, 18, 19, maybe 20, 21, I don't know, but somewhere in that area, old enough to know better, they were throwing rocks at me. And, I mean, I was dodging them. You know, these weren't just little pebbles. These were good-sized rocks and whatever have you. And thank God, thank y'all, I was standing, I was by myself, because if I, you know, they could have hit someone else too, you know, and so therefore there was nobody else around me with that. So, you know, they you know, after they did that quite a few times, then they, you know, went a little further and did some more shouting and yelling and, you know, racist remarks. These were people that were black or Hispanic, black and Hispanic and whatever have you. So they were shouting racist things to me, you know, because I'm white. Well, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter if you're white, if you're brown, if you're black or whatever, yellow, pink or green. I supported Trump back then, and I still support him, not because of race. It's because of the truth. It's because I just want to actually help do my part as a Canadian coming here to help make America great again. And I see nothing wrong with that. I'm not a racist person. People are saying now for the last month or so, a month and a half, they're saying now that they're really coming out and saying that these hats represent racial divide, as if it's a racial statement. And I'm like, you know what? I'm about as non-racist as you can get. And Donald Trump has proven that because he is not a racist, because he is making this country great again for all races, including the blacks and Hispanics, which have never seen the employment rate being so good in favor for them, as they'd never seen that. He's just going off the charts with all this stuff. So to say it has any connection to race, no. The only race it has connection to is a Republican race against a Democrat race. That's it. And many independent or whatever have you. That's the only race this represents, is because Donald Trump, he said he was Republican and he's going to run as conservative on conservative values, and he's done such. So everything he said that he can control, he's done, and is in the process of doing. And of course, they don't like it. So therefore, there's no race when it comes to the actual MAGA hat. You know, because you know what? If that was the case, then people would see that, and we would see that there'd be not the results that he said it was going to be. He said he was going to make sure that females were going to be more equal when it comes to pay and also jobs. And look at his staff. You know, people, where's the media when they don't talk about Donald Trump's female staff? Look at the key females that are in positions. Look at key black people that are in positions. Look at key Hispanics that are in key positions. A lot of them. So, you know, it's not. He doesn't just think about, oh well, I better put a black person in this position. No. What he does, he gets the right persons for the right job. And if they're not working accordingly to what his goals are that he was voted on, then he removes them and replaces them with someone else. And he doesn't just think, oh well, you see. Now don't get me wrong. Not that I'm in Donald Trump's head or president's head, but I'm just saying he's proven to people. He says, I choose the best person for the job, whether they're black, white, Hispanic, or whatever they are, Asian, whatever. Whether he's got immigrants that are actually in his cabinet. So I mean, it's not anything to do with immigration. It's got nothing to do with. It's got to do with doing the right thing for all Americans. He's got the Democrats and liberals in here that are making a lot more money now than they were before he was president. So how are we, as a Republican or a conservative or Trump supporter, how are we racist for that? We're not. So therefore, it's all their narrative, and it's because they hate Donald Trump, and they also hate this country. And when I say they hate the country, they hate it because they wouldn't be able to be in control and have the power and the greed and the money to be able to have all that for their own agendas. Well, guess what, folks? We don't vote these people in for their own agendas. We vote them in for the American agenda, and that is to keep America great, okay? To keep it great and make it greater. But to not, we don't want to have division like they say Republicans do. We don't want division. The only one we want to be divided away from is the enemy himself. And if they choose to be under the enemy and do what the enemy's will is, then they spoke for themselves. We're not speaking for them. We're just focusing on what we need to do to make it better and be a part of that. And that's why we have this radio show. It's the politically inconvenient truth, and we just want to be part of the process to helping America thrive again, be safe again. What are your thoughts about that, Gary?
Well, you're exactly right, but I gotta say something about, you know, calling us racist and the media trying to portray it. They know we're not racist. They know that.
Exactly.
What they're trying to do is they're so desperate. They lost. See, they're angry because Trump won. Their girl Hillary did not win, and they're angry about it. And when people get desperate, just like this Jussie Smollett. What he did is an act of desperation. They know it, so they have to conjure up stories that aren't true. And this isn't – Jussie Smollett wasn't the only one that's done this stuff. There's a lot of other people done it. They got away with it, you know. But right now, you know, he went – what he did, he went to law enforcement, see, and he committed a crime by giving false statements. Now, you know, you might say he's innocent, but the evidence right now is actually very compelling. You know, they got phone calls. They got everything on record. You know, they got cash or check transactions. So it pretty much proves it right there. Just have to go through the motions of a court, and then you know, they pretty much got them. You know, they just haven't got them convicted yet. So, and they should. I mean, I'm sorry if they do this stuff, they really should go to jail for doing this, because, I mean, it could be you, my friend. It could be me next time. I was accused of sending death threats. Never did it. But I was accused of it, and I tell you what, it's a little scary when people do this. And I'm sitting there, I never said I've never advocated anybody being harmed or nothing. I mean, we had a political disagreement, but that's not a threat. I said I work for Defidium on that. You know, that's what I do. But I said that's fine. That's what the First Amendment's about. See, we have a right to present all these ideas, whether wrong or right, and then we can sort through them and see what works and what doesn't work. That's what it's about. But when the one and the media themselves, they don't like being called fake news. Donald Trump put it out there, and of course Donald Trump's not going to silence them. He's just putting it out there, so you know the person has the option to shut them off. See, the thing is with the left, they think their First Amendment rights gives them the right to be heard. No, it doesn't. They can say whatever they want, but there's no law that says we have to watch them. We can change the channel or turn them off if we want to. There's a little button on our radios, there's a little button on the TV that says on and off. We can shut them down if we don't want to listen to them. But that's what they don't like, see. We're supposed to listen to them and fall on their hands and knees and follow them lockstep all the way. And we're not doing it. And we're not, like I said, you remember growing up, I mean, a lot of kids, especially guys, boys, when they're growing up, they get a little rebellious against their parents. Parents will tell them to do something, they won't do it because they don't like being told what to do. Well, right now, you have the government treating us like we're little kids, and then we don't have the intelligence to make our own minds up. And we rebel. And we're seeing rebellion, and they're now, the left is having a little a tissy fit over this, because they don't like the fact that we're not sheep and we're not molding into their little plans, you know. And that's what they're angry about. They're having, because we're actually, in a way it looks, I mean, with this wall, this is why they oppose the wall. Partly the big reason is because if Trump is successful at this, that means the Democrat Party, hopefully, and they probably will go down in flames, and they'll go the way of the Whigs. And it'll be history, and then we can sit there and have pictures of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and some of these other ones, Bill Clinton, and they'll go down in the history books eventually when the truth is written about them as some of the most dangerous, vile people in politics. And I'm gonna be brave and saying this, their policies really aren't any different than Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler promised the same thing. We had this Kitty Wurfman. I remember listening to her, and she said they didn't come in on tanks and took over. They promised prosperity. And of course, it's a fake promise. That's what they're doing now. The socialism movement. They promise what they can't deliver, and then when they can't deliver it, then they have to rule with an iron fist. And that's what's scary, because they don't really value human life. Look at the abortion rate. That's a new Holocaust right now, is the abortions. 1.5 million babies, was it about a year? It's in the million range anyway. I don't know the exact number. If I did, I'd be probably wrong. But I know there's a lot of them. And they're being, you know, aborted, and now they want to push it for after they're born. This is your left's agenda. See, they want to be able to make life and death decisions for you, not your family, but the government. And, of course, when you get older and grandma goes into the nursing home, they'll probably want the right to euthanize or put people to sleep like they do when you euthanize your pet dog or something. They want to do the same thing. Of course, these politicians, this is what really gripes me, they exempt themselves from it because they look at themselves as too good or they're better than we are. Just like I said, we're not supposed to have guns because we're too dumb. We're not supposed to have free speech because we're too dumb, but they're better people and they can exempt themselves from the law and they can do anything they want. That's their attitude. And when they lose and their lies don't gain any traction, then they start making up stories. Oh, they could come up with a hangman's noose. They beat me up. Oh, the Republicans are so mean. They're racist. They're bringing out their KKK history. And, of course, it was the Democrats that were the KKK, not the Republicans. The Republicans were founded to counteract that. I mean, they're rewriting history. Problem is, the big mistake is a lot of us remember the 60s when blacks were beaten with rubber hoses and had fire hoses turned on them. I can still remember it. It wasn't the Republicans that did that. That was your Democrat Party. And now the tides have turned, and, you know, racism is a horrible, horrible thing. They thought they were going to get really popular if they're racist. Well, that backfired on them. And this is the point. Now they have to flip. This is what they do. They say, well, it was the Republicans. They used to be Democrats, but now it's the Republicans. The party's flipped. I said, do you really think that the Republican Party is going to get popular if they become racist? No, it's a losing proposition. But no, it doesn't satisfy the Democrat Party. Doesn't satisfy them at all. They're winning by hook or by crook. That's what they're doing. And if they have to cheat, this is what I mean. Dead people are voting. I always joke a little bit. I said, when I die, I guess I'll be voting Democrat after I'm dead, because they'll lose my dead, you know, my death certificate, and they'll just say, well, he's dead. He don't mind anymore. And they'll say he votes Republican or Democrat now. And that's the point. They cheat. And I'm not saying there's no cheaters on the Republican side. There probably are. But I know the Democrats are very notorious for that, because they want to win by hook or by crook. And back to you, my friend.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, you mentioned about silencing and whatever. You know, they're one of their best tactics, if not the best tactics, is like we touched at the beginning of the show, and also you just touched on about history. If they can indoctrinate us by, you know, actually keeping history away and rewriting the history, and also what they do is they actually give you they don't give you the truth. So if they don't tell you the truth by showing you how it really was and is, that's how they tried to silence, and it worked for them for quite a long time. And how it's really been exposed even more so is by this new president that we've had for the last couple of years, is this is how he gets it to where they're the ones that are actually being exposed here for the lack of truth. And therefore, that's what they've done. They've had the media on their side for the most part. And so they've been able to do all this and get away with a lot of it. And this is why they don't like this president. That's why they can't stand him and hate him, is because they don't want to be exposed. And they're being exposed, and they come up with and they always go back to calling him racist or something that's really the farthest thing from the truth. And once they get one saying that, then you notice if you look at the every nightly news throughout the day, you'll hear the same talking point. Basically, they'll be talking about race. They're always in the, like, if they have two or three words that are in a row, they're always the same. Whether it be MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS, they all have the same different people saying the same three words in a row, or two words, or four words. It's like a catchphrase to them of the day, and they do this. And what is that? To try and steal the narrative, but actually twist it to their own beliefs, or they want everybody. They know it's not the truth. They know it's not the truth, but they want everybody else to believe it is. So it's a smear, is what it is. And you know, I don't have the audio right on hand. I just have the link to it. And I was I'm gonna read something that, you know, Gary and I had talked about a couple weeks ago, and it's been around for a few years. And it's something that Nancy Pelosi
had said, and you know, it, and I'm going to read it. Okay, it's what they do to get everybody else in the media, and not just them, to actually further their agenda, and then they report it. This is what she said in the exact quote. Okay, and this is like Nancy Pelosi's very own words: self-fulfilling prophecy. You demonize, and then you call. Well, we call it the wrap-up smear. Keep that in mind, folks. It's called the wrap-up smear. And she says, she goes on to say, if you don't want to talk politics, if you want to talk politics, it's called the wrap-up smear. You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it, and then you write it, you report it in the press that this is this, 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 and this, so they have a validation. That validation that the press reports the smear, and that is called the wrap-up smear. Now I'm going to merchandise the press reports on the smear, and we've made, and it's a tactic, and it's all self-evident. You can see it all. So it's and then, therefore, that's how they're going to get people to vote. That's what they're doing. That's what they've been doing it for years, for decades. And you know, you'll see it. And it's, if you look at all the ones that are saying this over the many years, that we can prove that they were doing all this. You know, it's all the elitists, the liberal Democrats. You'll see every evidence of all that. And she's even admitting it. This is how silly Nancy Pelosi is. She even actually said this. You can tell it's not been edited at all. You see her talking, you see her lips moving, everything has not been edited at all. She even stumbles over her words because she's trying to get it out. And I've just actually did it in a quotation exactly how she had said it, and that's just how she done it. You can see it for yourself. It's not just an audio like on radio like we are here. You can actually see her lips moving and the whole bit. And she's admitted it many times. This isn't the first time. So, you know, that just kind of backs up what we're trying to tell you folks, is the truth is this is what they do. These are their tactics. So they go out, and that's the thing with this Jussie Smollett and all the other things that they're doing. And then they try and get this all out there, and now that there's some kind of proof right now, it hasn't been through a court yet, but it's been some proof that he lied about certain things about this at least. Now what they're saying is, well, you see, we're not gonna say that, you know, that was a bad thing he did, because you know what, it's still going on today. A lot of people are doing this. So it's like, no, they're not. That's the thing is that just exposed it. And now they don't even want to admit. Most of them don't want to admit that even Jussie Smollett was wrong. They just want to go down a different road by saying, well, you know, whether he was right or he was wrong, it's still happening. So you can understand why he said what he said and why he was doing what he's doing. And so they're trying to justify it. And this is exactly what Nancy Pelosi does, and that party, and the elitists. They try to take away something that we know or knew was the truth, and because more and more people are being born, they get this. They block that old truth, put this so-called new truth, which is a falsity, and then they push it and push it and push it, because that's all that people will see, because now when you don't have the real history, you have nothing to back it up with. Well, that's why we come on this show and tell you we have the proof of a lot of the stuff that did happen. And they've rewrote things, just like the Bible. The Bible, there's only one real Bible, and it's from Hebrew. But then you got thousands out here that are all twisted doctrine, you know. And people believe that stuff, and yet it contradicts everything that the Hebrew root is. And it's the same with the actual our Constitution. You know, they want to rewrite all that. They want to go against it. They want to twist everything. And they want to do it without even passing any bills, or without even actually having a vote or anything. They just want to do it on their own. They don't want to pay attention to the Constitution. To them, they pretty much shredded it for the most part, or if not, they're in the process of doing it. And it's the same thing with any kind of truth that they're trying to do, because if they have no control, then they are finding it's not good for them. And see all this stuff that the president is doing right now. Over the past more than 2 years, he was actually bringing it out way before he was inaugurated even. and people were starting to side with him. That's why he did get the votes. And, you know, that's why he's a duly elected president, not just one. He's duly elected. And that is double trouble for the Democrats because they got no base no more. They have a base, but what I'm saying is it's not a winning base. It's just people have turned from the Democratic liberal agenda and went this way. Well, when you get these new ones like Bernie Sanders, when I say new ones like Bernie Sanders, he's been around forever. You know, he's what, 80 years old almost. But you get these young ones like AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You know, people like her, when they come out and they say these things that, you know, they're so far, far left like Bernie Sanders is, you know, they make him look like he's a moderate, almost like in the middle. But that like I said, that those are good things because actually with America being waking up in the last couple of years, for them to keep doing that, to keep that agenda going, what they want to do, it just shows a major contrast to what is going on reality right now when it comes to Trump doing what he's doing. And therefore, that's what we're seeing here is a contrast. And sometimes we need a contrast to really understand where they were going. And if you look back at over the years, many years, Gary, we do see that this is what they were leading up to, and this is what even Donald Trump said about the abortion back 3 years ago. He said that they're going to come to the point where they're going to have it full term and being able to abort, and that's what he said in a debate with Hillary Clinton, and that's the truth. He knew it was coming. He could see it because Donald Trump, and our now president, Trump is one of these ones that can see 2, 3, 5, and sometimes 10 steps ahead of these people. And that's why he is very much hated from the other side or elitist, because they know that what he's trying to do is expose them and put things in place to help this country build itself again like he has been doing over the last 2 years. And your thoughts, Gary?
Well, I agree. The thing is, the only thing that the Democrats like Alexandra Cortez, Alexandra, I can't even pronounce her name. But anyway, the only thing she's trying to do is she's actually revealing the truth. You know, she's actually saying what the Democrats' real thoughts are, because, you know, like I said, with this new Green Deal, it should be actually called the Red Deal, because that's what communism is. They always call it the Red Deal. It's about controlling every aspect of our life, and they have to use the environment to do it. You know, they want to get rid of all fossil fuels. Well, that's unattainable. They can't, because you wouldn't have any farmers left.
I would call it the black, because it's very dark. I call it the black deal.
It is dark.
This is where it's dark.
But communism, they always went by with the word red. That's what they used to, you know, the cyan sickle flag and stuff like that. But anyway, it's about control. That's all it's about. And you're letting people who've never, don't know how business works, they've never had any experience in any business, trying to tell you how to run your business, and they run it right in the dirt is what they're going to do. You know, because like I said, you're going to see empty shelves on the grocery store. You're not going to be able to, you know, and then eventually government will ration it. She always said healthy eating. Well, that means they're going to control what you eat. And it's none of their business. It's really none of their business. And like I said, we need to get a handle on that, because some of these young kids nowadays are just walking right off the cliff with them. I mean, they're like sheep and they're jumping off the cliff. I mean, they don't realize that this, if they go along with this, it's going to be the end of our country. And then where are they going to go to? You know, America is the last place of freedom, last beacon of freedom there is. Where are they going to go after that? You know, they can't go to a socialist country, because that's probably what they fled from. And if you noticed, people got walls up in other countries, and they got the wall up to keep people in, so they don't leave. Here, we just want to put a wall up to keep people out, people who are a danger to our country out, because if you do the Gates test, you remove the walls on those countries, they'll leave on the socialist countries, like North Korea and some of these others, they'll leave. They leave and they come here because of our freedom. And they want, you know, they think somehow that they're maybe not getting enough with their country, or probably not getting anything really too much because of all the money. And they think right here, you come here, they're going to get everything they want. They won't, because the money will run out. I mean, I don't care what you say. you know, the problem with socialism, it, when you run out of money, then everything collapses. And that's the thing, is they're trying to destroy businesses by claiming we're doing something to destroy the environment. So they tell you what you got to do, and then, of course, you can't afford it. Well, the business closes down if you can't pay for it. And over time, while you lay off a bunch of workers, then you go on the government dole. Where's the money coming from? The money comes from the private sector. And if they don't make money, you can't just print money. She was saying that you can just print money. Well, do you know what that does? That makes the value of a dollar worth much less. Anytime you print more dollars, each dollar is just going to be worth much less, and the dollar won't buy what it did 20 years ago. It doesn't, you know, I remember back in the 60s, you know, $20 would buy over a week, actually 2 weeks worth of groceries. Now $100 barely gets you by within 4 or 5 days, you know. And for a family, $100 won't even touch a week's worth of groceries. See, that's because of the inflation. Anytime they print money, your value of the dollar is worth less. And that's the problem with socialism. And then eventually it just collapsed, you know. Yeah, pretty soon your $100 bill won't be any worth any more than the paper it's printed on. You know, it's basically your money, your dollar bills and stuff. It's kind of like a check in a way. The paper itself is worth practically nothing, but it just tells you this is what you're worth on the federal bank and the Federal Reserve. That's what your dollar is worth. While you get more dollars printed out, that dollar is worth a little less all the time. You know, and that's the thing. It's because it takes more of them. You know, that's just the way it is. That's the way it works. It's just the way the nature of the beast. And another thing, too, when we get into debt, I think her plan just with this Green Deal will be well over $40 trillion. 40, not 4, but 40. Well, that will also decrease the value of the dollar. So your dollar won't buy nothing, you know. And it doesn't matter how much you earn if the money isn't worth anything. All the money you earn is going to mean nothing. And that's what we got to get control of. Now, this is where Trump has made mistakes. They spent a little too much. You're going to have to start curtailing spending. Tax cuts are a great idea because it gives us a little more capital to work with. But you got to start cutting back on the expenditures because when you keep spending like this, we just can't keep surviving as a nation very long.
That's right.
You know, and your thoughts on that, my friend?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah, because, you know, I understand what he's trying to do to get the economy going, and he's done a great job. But now that he's got that going, he has to, you know, ease into this and have it where it's more of a balance now because, you know, we still have to pay back the debt that Obama, you know, messed up. You know, with him himself, he incurred more debt than all the presidents before him combined. So Donald Trump did mention about all that. He was talking for years, you know, about how the spending was getting out of hand. But and I understand what he's trying to do. I understand that, and I understand that it's working to that degree. But, you know, he has to now, and I mean now, and I know, I know what he's doing, creating all the jobs and all these different things for foreign countries on trade and all that stuff, all that money that's coming back in the country, that's going to help, and we have to look at that too. I get that, really, I really truly do, but he does have to now look at working with that and paying off the debt also with domestic policies and stuff with everything like that, having other people pay a little bit more and whatever have you, because as far as that goes, because we do have to pay it off. And yes, the trade does help a lot, obviously, because it's going to bring jobs back and everything else, and also money right from other countries to pay, and that's all well and good. So I totally agree with what you're saying there, and that would work really well with what he's already accomplished. What are you thinking about that?
Well, you're exactly right. You know, you are exactly right. You know, it's just, but the thing is, you know, we're going to have to get a lot of this under control, the spending and stuff. And it's not going to, Trump, you know, even if he wins a second term, he's not going to, you know, not going to be able to complete everything he wants to do. It's going to take probably 60, 70 years. We aren't going to live, you and I won't live long enough to see it. You know, it's just going to take a long time because it took him a long time, you know, since back even in the 20s it started, you know. And,
yeah.
It took them a long time to get where they were now, and it's just going to take a long time to reverse it. You got to educate people. I would start working with the schools, too. Public schools are now indoctrinating people, and you got teachers out there teaching socialism is great, and we know that socialism, you can't cite me one place where socialism has been successful. I mean, their success rate is zero. Zero. Not 1%, but zero. So socialism fails everywhere it tried, but yet they keep wanting to try it again. And I don't care how they window dress it. It doesn't matter. It's going to fail because they're using other people's money. And, you know, when people spend other people's money, they're not really concerned of the costs because it isn't their money anyway. That's what politicians are like. They just waste it. And maybe they should spend their own money, you know. If they do that, they'll be much more cautious, but they don't. They spend somebody else's money. And that's not even in the Constitution. It doesn't specify that in the articles in the Constitution. I mean, they're clearly defined, and it doesn't talk about spending money and transferring wealth to people that need it. When they're talking about promoting prosperity is to provide an opportunity, which getting government the shackles out of the way so people can grow their businesses and hire more people. That's what they meant, not providing people, giving them money, because that's a failure. That's been a proven failure. And like I said, I go back to capitalism, which is freedom. Capitalism is freedom. Once you remove capitalism, then you have no more freedom, you know, because then you have to have government control, which we know what happens. It's going to fail 100%. It always does. And they're not that smart. You know, they might think they are. One thing that really gripes me, too, is these politicians pretend like they're God. They want us to worship them like God. You know, our Father who art in Washington, like Paul Harvey says. That's what they want. They don't like the fact that we worship a higher calling because they want to be the higher calling. And the thing is, God is forever. God will be around forever. God is the only one that creates. God is the creator. They don't like that. They want to be called the creator. See, and they don't want to be, they want to be the top. That's the way arrogant people are. I'm the best. I'm the best there is, you know, and nobody can beat me. And that they want to, they're trying to compete with God. Well, we know who's going to win there. You know, so I'll turn this back to you because we're getting close to the top of the hour, my friend. I'll let you wrap up the show when you get done with your closing statement.
Okay, yeah, you're exactly right. That's what they want. They want all that, everybody to bow to them and whatever, and that's their agenda, their hidden agenda. They haven't come out and said that exactly 100%, but that's what they're trying to do. That's what they want. They want all the control, and they're not going to come out and tell you that because then they know that they wouldn't be able to get the control. They just do it in a sneaky way. So, anyways, yeah, you're right. It's just one of those twisted agendas that they have, and yeah, we are getting to the top of the show here. We got 7 minutes or so, 8 minutes left or whatever, until we get to the top of the hour. And you know, it's one of those things that, you know, we have one ruler and that's it, and that's our God, that's Yah, and we don't, you know, its government is not here to make us do anything. You know, it's not what they're supposed to do. You know, I mean, even our God, even Yah, does not push himself on us. You know, he gives us the will, the free will, and he has his will, and he wants his will to be done. But, you know, he gives you the choice, and you can choose what you do with it, but yet there's consequences, and this is exactly what any government has. They have consequences for what they're doing, whether it be right or wrong. You know, a consequence of telling the truth and doing the right thing is we're going to be persecuted. We're going to have people that are going to come up against us, and just basically because they know that's not what they want. That's not what that's not going to feed into their narrative about being in control. And see, Donald Trump really doesn't want to be in control. He wants to give the control back to the people, and in other words, let them decide what they do with their money. For the most part, and that's what it is. I mean, you have to have money and taxes in order to basically have the security in place, because that's what he's there to do, is to make sure that we're safe. That's the most important thing, is to safe. But see, it's not just safe from foreign entities; it's also safe from within, because we get people that are coming in this country, or people that have already been here, that want to control it, and that's how they get more control, is by bringing other people in that want to push that narrative with them and let them, you know, do what they want and bow to them.
And therefore, that's the slow moving entity that's been going on, and it is picking up the pace, though. You see, we're seeing more and more and more of that, and that's why a lot of people have been talking that, you know, it's moving in a socialist, communistic type of atmosphere, and that's what they want. Well, we're not wanting that. You know, God, our Yah, does not want that. He wants us to have consequences for doing the wrong thing, and being blessed for doing the right thing. So you're either blessed or you're cursed, and that's the whole thing. Is you and I choose to be blessed. You know, we're not perfect, and we have issues that we need to deal on ourselves individually. That's just the way we are, but we're not afraid to admit them. Whereas if you're sounding off as if you want to basically show people that, you know, a person wants to control all this other stuff that's here and not really care about the security, about the security of this country or whatever, then you're seeing seeing people that are actually, they're cursed. That's what they are. They're evil. And that's just the way it is. I mean, it's not a judgment, and as far as being judgmental, it's just we all do some things that aren't of God, aren't of Yah. But if we're doing things and we don't repent, and or if we do things and we don't repent and learn from them, we're going to make it worse. We're going to keep making it worse, and therefore that's a curse. That's being evil. That's intent. Because if you don't want to see something that's actually going wrong, we have to correct it. We have to do some things to show that we're correcting it. So that's why we always welcome people to come on this show and call us at 646-787-8534 and give us your feedback, give us your comments or questions or whatever you might have. And press 1 and we'll get you on here. Any Sunday we're on, you know, we start at 1 o'clock Central Standard Time, and we go to 2 or 3, depending on the flow of the show and time restrictions or whatever, and with the guests. And just come on and share your thoughts with us, and we'll be gladly to have you here. It's a family show. So having said that, we are going to wrap up the show here at the Pit Radio News. The Pit stands for the Politically Inconvenient Truth, and that's what we represent. So we just ask you to please come on here and share your truths with us. That's what we want. It's all about the operative word being the truth. So we're going to leave you with what we always do with some Paul Harvey again, with some hard work. You know, we don't push the lazy doctrine. We push hard work and making sure that you're doing having a good day's work and being honest and giving the truth. And nothing like hard work. So here we go. I want to thank you, Gary, up there in North Dakota. Thank you for being a great host, as always. And I want to bless you and your family, and God, Yah bless you, everyone in America and the world. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Glenn.
You're very welcome.
Americans' preachers tell me that there is no sermon which is looked forward to with less enthusiasm than a sermon about sin. Well, that's probably true if we're talking about a secular sermon on the subject of hard work. There is no gospel less popular than the gospel of hard work. I could ask you today, I could ask you right now to demonstrate your faith in America by handing poison to snakes, and many or most of you would. I could outline a fundamental Christian code of conduct which strictly forbids the use of stimulants or sedatives or the wearing of jewelry, and many would willingly and without question accept and be bound by such abstinence. Our leaders could readily rally you to fight and die for your country, as they have many times, and you would even again. But if Paul Harvey or any politician should state that our only chance for survival is to get off our dead centers and get to work, well, I'd be lucky if you'd let me finish. But I'm going to test my luck today. You see, I don't happen to be running for or from anything, and that does make a difference. The pregnant skyline of America was set in place one brick at a time. Now, that represents a lot of calluses. America the Beautiful is not an accomplished fact guaranteed to remain intact. God shed his grace on thee, to be sure, but this was wasteland when God had it to himself. He handed man a hoe and said, "You want another Eden? All right, earn it." And all that's necessary for the weeds to take over again is for you and me to lay down that hoe. Now, Americans, the problem is less acute today than it has been. We're on the right track right now. But if we sit down on that track, I'm afraid we're going to get run over. We tell our young people how our country was carved out of the wilderness. No, it wasn't. Our nation was not carved out of the wilderness. Our nation was hammered and hoed and chopped and dug and sawed and clawed out of the wilderness by barehanded men who asked nothing for nothing. America did not start out with an agricultural production that's the awe and envy of the world. It was seeded first by sod-busting farmers who fought Indians and ranchers and cold and heat and drought and bugs and flood and one another. The fruited plain sprang forth from barren acres only after they had been watered with a lot of sweat. I guess what I'm saying is that the more history I study, ours and others, the more certain I am that there is one fertilizer essential to the survival of civilization, and that fertilizer is sweat. And I don't mean perspiration. I mean the kind of steamy, streamy, salty sweat that's wrung from a man by hard physical work. Somehow, the sweat gets into the soil of a farm or a factory or a city or a state or a nation, and everything thereabouts grows tall and strong and tough enough to stand against any storm. But the day the sweat dries up, the soil dries up, and whole civilizations are buried in dust.